Morning. If you'd like to, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 26. That'll be the main verse. I'm going to use other verses. I haven't included them today, and probably the best thing to do is just listen to them, because by the time you look for them, I'm already gone and talking about something else. So before we get started, let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we're just thankful for this day that you've given to us. We just thank you for this time that we can just gather together here this morning. And Father, we do thank you for the way that you've designed a family with a husband, a wife, a father and a mother, children. We just thank you for the woman who you've designed to just reflect the love and the compassion and the mercy and the tenderness that you have as our God. And I just pray as we go through this morning's worship service that you would just help me to preach it in a way that is understandable and help us to just understand how important a family is, and especially how important moms are to their children. And I just ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to run you around in circles this morning. When I start out, it's going to seem like I'm not talking about moms, but we'll hopefully you can have it all tie together. But in 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, "This also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." And when you look around our nation today, it seems like we live in a very, very confused society. It just seems like everything's twisted and depraved anymore. And when we see the turmoil in the world today, we can probably narrow it down, at least the root cause of its problems, down to several things. And the first is its relationship with God. It's mankind's refusal to acknowledge God. And of course, we know that without God's word to guide us, we are left to ourselves to kind of find out some meaning and purpose for our life. Now, secondly, it rejects God's design for humanity in relationship to marriage and family. And of course, third, lastly, it rejects the relationship that every human being is to have with one another. In this verse in 2 Timothy, the one I just read, when you look at all these descriptions, we see that by casting off God and God's design for humanity, people have become selfish and self-centered. They seek to satisfy themselves, even at the expense of others. And all these things here deal with relationships. And you wonder, how did we get where we are today? And really, we can answer that by going back to the book of Genesis. And it's such an easy answer. So in Genesis, we see that God created all things, including the man and the woman. Both the man and the woman were created in God's image and likeness. So this means both were created as equals. So the man, the woman, equals. Both were to rule over the earth. And they were to do this by walking side by side in a partnership. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. And notice what the verse says. Male and female created he him, or them. So notice God created them male and female. And you kind of add that up. That's two sexes, okay, two gender. So he created their physical bodies differently. And you know, as men and women, we can see that. We can understand that women are designed physically different and men are different than women. But one of the other things that we need to understand is that God wired our brains differently. Okay, we don't think alike. Each were physically and mentally created in a way that was best suited to carry out the responsibilities they were given. Now, one of the problems that men and women have in communicating is not understanding the man and the woman do not think in the same way. See, a man cannot expect a woman to think and act like a man, and a woman cannot expect a man to think and act like a woman. See, the man only uses one side of his brain, which explains a lot for us guys, doesn't it? Okay? We use one side of our brain, and that brain operates based on facts. We have these little boxes in our mind, and we can only open one at a time because our thinking ability is limited. So we stick to the facts. Now, the woman, on the other hand, she uses both sides of her brain. Everything's just wired together. And a woman's brain operates more on feelings and emotions and intuition. If you give a man and a woman a problem to solve, and they will in the end come up with the same answer, but they'll come up with it in different ways. See, the man will go directly from A to B because they're just dealing with facts. So we just go from here to there and we solve that problem. While the woman, she has a tendency to go from A to Z, I don't know how, and then back to B, and she solves the problem also. And what's really confusing for men is how women can sometimes solve problems without even thinking about it. I mean, they just know. And that's called women's intuitions. So our brains are wired differently. We look at things differently. We communicate differently. And we have to learn to appreciate each other in the way that God designed us in that area. We also see that the man and the woman were made to be husband and wife. They were to be fruitful and multiply. They were to have children. And we see also the man and the woman were created as equals. God gave both the man and the woman different positions of responsibility in order to fulfill God's purpose for creation. So equal, two different responsibilities. The man, having been created first, was to be the head of the family. And the woman was to submit to his leadership. So the woman was created out of the man's side and was to be the man's helpmeet as a wife and a mother. The woman was also created, maybe I know it's confusing today, but men cannot bear children. I know you're seeing it on the news all the time, but the woman was created to be the childbearer. She bears the children. And her role, as God designed it, centered around the family as both a wife and a mother. Now, Genesis 3:20 tells us, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." So Eve actually means life giver. The woman is the life giver. So the woman brings life, and at the moment of conception, a life begins to develop in the mother's womb. She nurtures and carries a baby until it has fully developed, and then she gives birth to the baby. So God has given the woman the privilege and the responsibility to bring forth life. So as mankind increased on the earth, society would be made up of individual families. So the family was to be the backbone of society. You have a man, a woman, a husband, and wife. You have children. A man, a woman, a husband, and wife. And as they go, you end up with society. So, but the first institution was that family. It is the most important institution there is. And a nation is only as strong as the families which make up that nation. So if you can destroy the family, you will be able to destroy both the society and the nation. So we know that mankind was tempted by Satan, who convinced Adam to rebel against God. Now, Satan wants to be worshipped as God, and he wants to take what God has created and he wants to reshape it into his own image. Now, one of the ways he seeks to do this is by attacking God's design for the family. He needed to destroy the family unit. So to do this, he had to attack the role of the man and the woman, the husband and the wife, and the role of the children. He needed to blur the line between the sexes, confuse the responsibilities and what God created them to be. Now, by all appearance, Satan has done a very good job of destroying all three, at least in our nation as we look around. Now, in our nation, the man has been emasculated and he's been feminized, which is what they want to do, society. So men who still act like men are demonized by society. Now, many women, of course, on the other hand, have taken over the role of men, both within the family and society. They now abort their babies for the sake of convenience and careers. See, women who stay home at home today to raise their children, they're ridiculed by society. And of course, this attack on the roles of men and women has led to a lot of gender confusion. So, and it's, you know, that's why we're where we're today, because men don't know how to be men, women don't want to know how to be women, and neither one want to be what they're supposed to be. So there's a lot of confusion, and today it's left many children confused over their own sexuality because they don't know what men and women are. Many children now think that they're boys stuck in girls' bodies or they're girls stuck in boys' bodies. And it's become so bad today that children are encouraged to undergo sex changes and have their bodies mutilated. And all this stems from the attack on the family, because a man doesn't know how to be a man, a woman doesn't know how to be a woman, a man doesn't know the responsibilities that God has given him, and the women no longer know. And if they do know, in a lot of ways, they don't care. So one other area that Satan seeks to destroy is God's command to be fruitful and multiply. And this is the one that really bothers me the most. See, Psalm 127:3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so children are of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." So here we see, according to this verse, God calls children his reward. And those who have many of them are considered blessed or happy. You know, today, children are seen more as burdens to one's ability to heap up material things of this world. Most people today, especially with the women, they're taught, go to college, get a career, you've got plenty of time to have children, because that's the most important thing. You know, get your home, get your finances straight, get all that, and then you can have children. So society has convinced us that children are something they're an afterthought. So people who have more than one or two children are frowned upon by society and considered irresponsible. You know, I have one son that has eight children. People open their eyes wide open. They can't believe, why would you have that? That's so irresponsible. Why would you have eight children? Well, my son and my daughter-in-law believe that God will bless them with children, and when God is done with them having children, then they'll stop, because children are a blessing to them. And today, society convinces you, well, you can't support more than one or two children. Well, yes, you can. See, if you have three people, one child in the family, God's going to make sure that you can feed that child. If you have five children in your family, God's going to make sure you feed those five children. And if you have 20 children in your family, God's going to make sure that he provides for those 20. See, God will give you what you need based upon what you need. So if you have more than one child. Now, to me, it seems strange that most of our parents came from large families, and they never considered themselves poor or lacking in material things. I mean, compared to us, our parents had nothing. Nothing, if you go by the standards of what we consider something today. Now, and with our parents, if they had a roof over their head, clothes on their back, and food to eat, they were content. They didn't realize they were poor. See, today we trade the joys of having children for material possessions and personal pleasure. Children just get in the way today. And with all this said, it kind of brings us back to today. Today is the day that is set aside to honor moms, mothers. See, no one has a greater influence in developing a child's character than mom. Whether it be a son or a daughter, the mother has the most impact on their children. Fathers are important, but the mothers are the ones in the beginning that have the greatest impact. The mother at least shows the son how to be loving and kind and caring, because, see, we're the providers and protectors. We'd rather beat somebody up than love them. It's just the way we're designed. And without the mom helping us to understand there's a different way of doing things, then sons can grow up pretty mixed up without mom. Proverbs 31:10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" So in other words, to be a good mom, first you have to understand and accept the responsibilities God has given to you as a woman and a wife. If you don't know what a woman is, if you don't know how to be a wife, you're certainly not going to know how to be a mom. So Proverbs 31:10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies." So a virtuous woman's strength and courage lies in her character. In other words, she is a woman who fears God, a woman who seeks to be the woman God created her to be. She defines who she is based on God's design and not the world's. See, she does not fear what the world thinks of her, and she does not buckle under the pressure to conform. Both her values and her convictions are molded by God's word. She seeks to please God first and foremost, and her relationship with her husband, her children, her family, and her friends will be defined by godliness. See, a woman of noble character is of more value than anything that the world can offer. A virtuous woman is priceless. Proverbs 19:14 says, "Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." Prudent here means it can be translated intelligent, skillful, wise, understanding. So a intelligent, skillful, wise, and understanding wife comes from the Lord. Proverbs 31:26 says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." So one thing we quickly learn about women is that they're good communicators. They like to talk. Okay? They have twice the vocabulary we do. But here, the difference is the godly woman communicates with words that edify and build others up. Law of kindness shows that she's capable of instructing others in godliness, especially her own family. In other words, she's not a gossip or a busybody. She doesn't use her ability to communicate to tear people down. She builds people up. Proverbs 31:27 says, "She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness." So for her, if she's a wife and a mom, the woman has a lot of concern for her family. That's her central main goal, is to make sure her family is well. So she watches over her family. She makes sure she knows what's going on in both her husband's life and her children's life. She is constantly looking after the needs and the welfare of her family, and she never lets her guard down. And at times when God describes his love for the nation of Israel, he does so from a feminine perspective. In Isaiah 66:13, this is what God says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem." So when we think of mothers, what are the attributes of God that come to our minds? Unconditional love, compassion, kindness, mercy, pity, a willingness to sacrifice everything for the well-being of her children, someone that you can run to for comfort and understanding, someone that when everything in life goes bad, it just seems mom's hug, her little kiss, just makes everything better and gives us hope for the future. It is mom who was designed by God to be the glue that binds the family together. She is the central figure. Without her, a family cannot hold together. No one is more important to the stability of the family than the mom. See, mothers are indispensable for the welfare of the children. She is the one who was created to be the nurturer. Her bond to her children helps to develop their intellect, their personalities, their attitudes, and the values that they will carry into adulthood. The most impressionable years of a child, whether it's a boy or a girl, are those first few years. And it takes mom to develop the personalities, and everything that is about those children will be developed by her. See, no one will love her children more than she does, with the exception of God himself. You know, to every mother, their child is beautiful. No other child compares to theirs, because that's their child. And they will do everything they can to love those children and to protect those children. And others may care about her children, but there will never be anyone that loves them or knows them or will be willing to lay down their life for them the way she would for her own children. See, when a mom gives her time and attention to her children, when she invests herself in their lives, she is telling them that she loves them, that she is there for them. And it's hard to be a mom. It's hard to be a wife. And, you know, when your life centers around the family, it gets pretty tiring. It gets pretty monotonous. You know, so all those tiring, thankless, menial tasks you do are actually telling your children that you love them. And when you cook their meal, when you make sure they have clean clothes to wear, when you chauffeur them around so they can be involved in all these different activities, you're telling your children that you love them, that they're worth your time and effort. And they may not appreciate it. How many of us appreciated our parents when we grew up? None of us, mostly, right? Sometimes we respected them because sometimes we were scared of them, right? But we didn't always appreciate them. In fact, the older we got, the dumber we thought our parents were, right? And be honest, you thought that when you were 16, you knew more than your parents did. So it's a thankless job in the beginning, and you don't feel very well appreciated. And it may seem that they take you for granted, but as they grow into adults, they will realize all that you sacrifice for them, and they will rise up and honor you. There are a lot of children, we don't really appreciate it, what our parents did to us and, or for us until we became parents ourselves, and then we wonder how our mother and even our dad put up with us, right? Because, I mean, our children are no different than what we were. See, the person who has the opportunity to make the greatest impact in a child's life will be the mother. No one can replace her. God gave children to parents to raise for a good reason. See, the child's physical, mental, emotional, intellectual, and spiritual welfare revolves around their parents. See, parents that are willing to commit their life or their time and their energy in nurturing and validating their children will provide stability for that child that will last a lifetime. Okay? Teach your boy how to be a man. Teach your daughter how to be a woman. And they will grow up stable. But, you know, neglect them. See, parents who are so wrapped up in their own lives will end up with children who will never be able to cope with life. And I don't know, maybe you haven't noticed today, but we have so much technology, and technology makes a very good babysitter, doesn't it? It frees our time up so much. And, you know, I have seen parents that are, their kids are off. They don't even know what their kids are doing because they're too busy doing this anymore. Take their kids to a playground, and whether the parents, they don't even know whether the kids have been kidnapped or not because they can't stop looking at this. See, technology has taken over everything, and you have to be careful in those areas. But you have to. It's so important, especially for mom, to invest time with their children. And the question is do you think maybe our world is where it is today because many mothers are no longer moms? Okay? A woman can have a child, but it takes time and energy to be a mom. See, have moms, for the most part, left their children to find their own way in life? Do they think that someone else will teach them? Someone else will guide and direct them? Don't worry. They'll turn out okay without you. But the reality is without the guidance of their parents, especially their mom, children will grow up to be nothing more than confused adults because they won't know what it is to be a man. They won't know what it is to be a woman. They won't even know whether they're a man or a woman. They'll be confused. Family. See, God designed the family first. The family is the most important thing, and yet it's the thing that society casts off as the least important thing. Everything else, money, material possessions, go for the gusto. These are all the important things. The family can come last. But God said the family must come first. But the thing is mom, there's no one who can still within your child the character that God desires of them more than you. Okay? Families need their moms. Don't entrust what only you can give to your child to someone else. Okay? We really need to understand the development of children, especially in the early ages, are dependent upon mom and dad also, but mainly mom. So there is no babysitter. There's no daycare or preschool program that can replace a mother. And it is the bonding of the mother that produces within the child a sense of security and well-being. They feel safe when mom's there for them, raising them at an early age. So mothers, you need to be there for them. And really, as a mom, you are irreplaceable. And I know I am fortunate right now that my mom is still alive, okay? And, you know, my mom isn't perfect, but I thank God for my mom. You know, my mom always did the best that she could do for me, and I think that's the way mothers are. Even as a son, you know, my dad's important to me. He's the one that sets the example as a man. But it's my mom who teaches me how to be kind and compassionate and loving and concerning. You know, it gives that son the ability to grow up and realize that, you know, people have feelings, and that, you know, we need to understand that every person's important. Moms, don't let the world tell you that you have to be out there with a career doing something, you know, because I know many women who rather than going to college and get a career, they decided that they're going to stay home and raise their family because they believe that's important. And many of these ladies that I know, after their children were grown, guess what they did? They went to college, got a career, and worked until they retired because they put the family first, the career second. Today it seems like we put the career first and the family second. But we really need to understand that as believers, we need to understand that the most important thing in this life, as far as stability goes, are individual families and the responsibilities that moms and dads have, and also children in obeying the Lord. Father, we just thank you for this time we could look into your word. And Father, help us to understand that, you know, it just seems like the world's out there searching for some meaning and purpose, and they don't really realize that all that meaning and purpose is right in front of them with their family, and that the family is the most important thing, and that we can be content. We can feel those things that we're searching for when we invest time within our family. So help us to realize as believers, whether we're a man or a woman, help us to understand what our roles and responsibilities are, and also help us as moms and dads alike to understand how important we are to their children. And yes, it's hard. It's not easy being a parent, and being a parent kind of helps us to understand how you feel like, Father, when we never listen to you and when we go our own way. But yet these are lessons that need to be learned. So, Father, I just pray that you would help us within our congregation to be the moms and dads that we should be. And I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.